We are in Joshua chapter 7 this morning, so if you want to take your Bibles and turn there, we'll get to the scripture in just a second. This is our fourth lesson in this series of six that we're going to have with the theme, Be Strong and Courageous. And we're talking about leadership lessons from the book of Joshua. And as I mentioned the last couple, 3 weeks, everybody is a leader. Everybody is an influencer of people. Some people might have a title that designates them as a leader. Others maybe don't. But every single person influences somebody else. And because of that, that makes you a leader. Of course, we're talking about Joshua. He was the leader of Israel at a critical time in the nation's history. They were moving into the land that God had prepared for them, the land that God had promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And the principles that Joshua exhibited as he was leading the people in this endeavor are principles that are examples to each of us as we influence people. So we've had three lessons so far. The first one was entitled, Accept Your Leadership Role. And the point of it was, as you lead, submit to God's authority and to His direction. And the 3 points that week was, God calls leaders. God equips leaders with His Word. God equips leaders with His presence. The second lesson was, be confident in God's power. Lead from a position of confidence in God. We need to listen, we need to share, and we need to obey. Last week, it was stick to God's plan. God's people just need to keep doing what God tells them to do. Do what God says. Be persistent. Claim the victory. And then today, the fourth lesson, the title is Move Beyond Failure. And the point is, leaders confront failure. They need to deal with it and to move forward. And again, 3 parts of the lesson this morning. We need to identify the reasons for failure. We need to admit and confess sin when sin is the cause of failure. And we need to deal with it and refocus on God's plan. And so, I would tell you this morning, and you know this just as well as I do, sometimes leaders make mistakes. Sometimes leaders sin. Sometimes leaders do things that God doesn't want them to do or not do things that God does want them to do. And in leadership, sometimes you have to deal with the results. You have to deal with failure that results either from your own sin or from the sins of others. There's too many people today that just try to explain away sin and rationalize sin. Or ignore it. And that doesn't solve the problem. The only way that we can to deal with it is to confront it, confess it, and then get back to being obedient to God. And in the passage of Scripture, Joshua chapter 7, that we're going to look at this morning, that's what Joshua does. Now, again, I would remind you, the nation of Israel had just won a glorious victory at Jericho. They had done something that very few people thought they could do. They took the walled, strong city of Jericho. And that victory, I mean, it was exciting. It was exhilarating for the people. And as a result, Joshua's name and the name of God and the nation of Israel, their fame was spread across the land of Canaan. I mean, everybody heard about it. Wasn't done in a vacuum. Messengers went out. Everybody heard how the nation of Israel had taken the city of Jericho. And everybody was afraid of what was going to happen next. But then they went to Ai, a smaller city. They sent some spies out again. And the spies came back and said, hey, we don't need to send a whole army. Just a 3,000 men or so could go to Ai and the city will fall. And Joshua agreed, and they sent the 3,000 men, and I'll mention in a minute, I don't know if he went or not, it doesn't sound like he did, but they sent the 3,000 men, and they were defeated at Ai. In fact, they hadn't lost a single man at Jericho, not a single Israeli soldier was killed at Jericho, but when they went to Ai and fought against Ai, 36 soldiers were killed. And as a result of that, the Bible says, the hearts of the people, the hearts of the Israelites melted. I mean, they had been defeated, and they were now they were discouraged. And they questioned if God's plan for them was still valid. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of people felt that way Friday when the Supreme Court announced their decision. They were discouraged. They questioned, where was God? Why would God let this happen? Well, Joshua chapter 7, the first part of it, talks about the defeat at Ai. And after the defeat, Joshua humbled himself. He fell on his face before God. The elders fell on their face before God. And here's what God told them when they went to him. He said, hey, you want to know why you lost at Ai? You want to know why your army was defeated? Because you disobeyed me. When you went into Jericho, I told you that everything there was either to be destroyed, or if it wasn't to be destroyed, like the gold and the silver and the iron and the brass, that was to go into my treasury. And again, God was saying, everything in Jericho, I either want you to destroy because I don't want it to taint you, I don't want you to lead it away from me, or it's to go into the treasury of the synagogue, of the tabernacle that Moses had built, and it was going to be used to bring honor and glory to me. Well, God says that didn't happen. Somebody took some spoil of the city for themselves. Somebody robbed from God. Somebody took something that belongs to me, God said. And God had told them before they went into Jericho, if you don't do what I say, if you don't destroy all the spoil, if you don't take the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron and put it in my treasury, you're going to be cursed. And you're going to be set apart for destruction. And God says, that's why you were defeated at Ai. And by the way, he said, it's not just the person that, if there's only one person that does it, it's not just the person that's going to be cursed, it's going to be the whole camp. It's going to be the whole nation of Israel. You're going to have to answer for it. And if you do, if you sin, if you don't obey me, you're not going to be able to stand before your enemies. And all that was coming to fruition at Ai. I mean, the people could see it. They experienced. Again, they just come from a mighty, glorious victory, and now they were defeated at Ai. And God said, the reason why is there's sin in the camp. The thing that I told you to destroy is in the camp. The thing I told you to put in the tabernacle is in the camp. Somebody has put it among their own stuff. And until you get that out, my presence and my blessing is no longer going to be with you. So we start in verse 13 this morning. Again, we're going to read several passages from Joshua chapter 7, and then we're going to get to the first verse in chapter 8. But if you have your books, if you have your Bible, look at Joshua chapter 7, verses 13 through 15. Here's what the Bible says. And this is God talking to Joshua. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So God says to Joshua, I want you to sanctify the people. That word sanctify means to set apart. It usually means to set apart for service to God. It comes from a Hebrew word, kadesh, Q-A-D-E-S-H. It means to make holy. And again, in this story, we see the two extremes. One can be cursed, set aside for destruction, because they violate God's command, or they can be sanctified, set apart for service to God. And it all comes down, it all depends on our choice. Are we going to choose to disobey God? Are we going to choose to break the covenant that we have with Him as Christians? The nation of Israel had a covenant. He was going to be their God. They were going to be His people. That covenant demanded, had obligations on both sides. God was obligated to do some things, and the people were obligated to do some things. And Achan, when he stole what he did, broke that covenant. Not only broke it for himself, but broke it for the nation of Israel. And again, we get to make the choice. Are we going to be obedient to God? Are we going to do what He says? And therefore be sanctified, set apart for His service? Or are we going to be disobedient and suffer the wrath that God has for disobedience? Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. We may be saved and on our way to heaven, but if we disobey God, be sure our sin is going to find us out, and be sure God is going to punish us. And so God said to Joshua, I want you to sanctify the people. I want you to set them apart. I want you to get them ready, because I'm going to meet with them. I'm going to come. And He gives Joshua instructions in the next verse for how that meeting was going to take place. And notice what God says. He says to Joshua, I want you to tell them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Joshua, I want you to tell them, this is not words from you. This is not your thoughts. This is not what you want to happen. These instructions are coming from me. This is my word, the Lord God of Israel, the covenant God, your God, the God that you made an agreement with to be my people, and I agreed with you to be your God. And so, Joshua, here's what I want you to tell them. I want you to tell them that I am going to identify the specific sin. I am going to identify the accursed thing that is in the midst of the camp. And because of that, I have set aside that person and all that belongs to him. I have set aside that person for destruction. And I want you to tell them something else, Joshua. I want you to tell them, until that sin is taken out of the camp, until that accursed thing is removed, that they're gonna be unable to stand before their enemies. They are not going to win another victory. Gail, good to see you this morning. So glad to see you. Glad that you're here. Glad you're feeling well enough to be here. But tell them, Joshua, that every battle that they're going to go into from now on, until that accursed thing is taken out of the camp, they're going to lose, because I'm not going to be in their presence. I'm not going to be in their midst. The sin is in the camp, and until you get rid of it, you're not going to have any more victories. And so in verse 14, God instructs Joshua how to find the sin. Again, because Joshua didn't have any idea what it was. He says, I want you to take the tribes one at a time. Remember, there were 12 tribes for every one of the sons of Jacob. I want you to take the tribe. I'll tell you what tribe it is. And then I want you to take the families in that tribe. Have them come before you one by one. I'll tell you what family it is. Then I want you to have the households come one by one, and I'll tell you what household it is. And then I want you to have all the men from that household come one by one, and then I'll tell you which one is guilty. And when I identify the guilty one, I want you to take him, and I want you to burn him and everything that he has. Now, you might think, why did God go through this process? Well, God knew who was guilty. Why didn't God just tell Joshua, it's Achan. Achan's the one that brought the accursed thing into the camp. Achan's the one that has stolen stuff that was supposed to be destroyed or given to me. Well, I agree with what the author says. The author says, and I think it was in the book that you have, he said he wanted everybody to examine their heart. He wanted everybody to look at their own self and make sure it wasn't them that was the result of the sin in the camp. Sort of reminded me when Jesus was sitting at the table with his disciples, and he said, one of you shall betray me. Remember what they all asked? Is it me? Am I the one that's going to? Am I the one that's betraying the Lord? I think the Lord wanted every man in Israel to examine their own life and to say, "Hey, am I the one that's causing this curse of God? Am I the one that caused this loss at Ai?" He also said maybe it was a chance to give Achan a chance to repent. Maybe when God told Joshua and Joshua told the people, maybe if Achan would have come and said, you don't need to go through the tribes, you don't need to go through the families, you don't need to go through the households, you don't need to go through the men. I'm raising my hand right now. I'm the one that did it. I'm confessing. Maybe if he would have done that, God would have shown him mercy and forgiven him. But even as you read the whole story, as we're going to do this morning, I see no repentance on the part of Achan. I mean, he admitted what he did. I don't ever hear him saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I sinned against God. I'm sorry I took what belonged to God. I'm sorry it caused the death of 36 soldiers. I'm sorry it caused the curse of God to come into the camp. I see no repentance. But God was, I think, again, like the author, God was giving him a chance. And so in verse 15, said, here's the punishment. He says, he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath. The punishment was harsh. It was thorough. And the goal was to wipe out the infection of sin that was in the camp of Israel. Sort of like a disease that begins to spread in a country. Sometimes they go into where the disease end is and they burn everything up to kill it. And that's what God was telling Joshua to do. When you find the one that has sinned, I want you to take him and everything that he has, and I want you to burn him up. I want you to destroy him with fire because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord. That word transgress means to pass over or pass by, to move outside of, to move beyond the bounds of the covenant or the agreement that God had with his people. The covenant that he made with Abraham, the covenant that he made with Moses, the covenant that he repeated to Isaac, the covenant that he repeated to Jacob. I'll be your God, you be my people. That obligates both of us to do some things. I'll take care of you, I'll protect you, I'll provide for you. But you need to be obedient, you need to glorify me, you need to honor me. That was the obligation of God's people. And God said, I want you to burn the one that has stolen the spoils of war from Jericho because they have transgressed or broken or gone beyond the covenant of the Lord. And he said, God also said this, they have also wrought folly in Israel. That word folly means foolishness. It means senselessness. It means disgracefulness. They have committed something that is a disgrace to the whole nation of Israel. And therefore, I want you to burn. I want you to burn him and everything that he has. God's saying the punishment needs to fit the crime. Needs to fit the crime. All right, look at verse 19 through 21 of Joshua chapter 7. And again, in verse, we quit reading in verse 15 before, so in verses 16, 17, and 18, God had done what Joshua said. He brought all the tribes, he brought the families, he brought the households, he brought the men. God had revealed it was Achan that had committed the sin. And so in verse 19, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. At this point, Joshua still didn't know. He did not know what the sin was. God didn't tell him, Joshua, what the sin was. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Again, Joshua did what God said. God identified Achan as the guilty party. Because of his greed, Achan had put his own desires above the good of his country, of the good of his nation. Again, 36 soldiers had been killed. The army had been defeated. God's people were discouraged. God's people had lost heart. And so in verse 19, Joshua confronts him. He says, "My son." Now, that would be a normal greeting for a person in charge to greet one of the people that were underneath him. It would be a common greeting for an older person to greet a younger person. But it may imply something more. I mean, Achan was in the army. Joshua was the leader of the army when Moses was still in command. Maybe they served together. Maybe they knew each other. Maybe they were friends and had a personal relationship. But it didn't matter. Joshua still had to do what leadership has to do at times. He says, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel." That word glory comes from the Hebrew word kabod. It means honor or distinction. Give honor to God. Give distinction to God. Now listen, God's glory is his own. God's glory does not depend on man acknowledging it or supporting it. God's glory belongs to him, and there's nothing that we can do to take it away from. So when Joshua said, "Achan, I want you to give glory to the Lord," how could he do that? He could do that by acknowledging the glory he stole from God at Jericho. You see, the fact that everything was to be destroyed, the fact that the gold, silver, iron, and brass was to be given to God, it was to be used to bring honor to God, to bring glory to God. And when Achan took that for himself, when he took what belonged to God, instead of giving glory to the Lord God of Israel, he was trying to give glory to himself. He was trying to enrich himself. And so what God was telling Achan to do, you need to back up and redo what you did at Jericho. You need to give back to God what belongs to him, and you need to confess unto him. And that word confess means thanksgiving or praise. And again, he failed to do that at Jericho. Instead of thanking God for the victory at Jericho, he used it as an occasion again to pad his own wealth. He failed to thank God for the victory at Jericho. He failed to honor God. And so Joshua says, "Hey, confess. Tell me what you've done. Don't try to hide it from me, because if you try to hide it, God's going to tell me. But tell me what you have done." And so in verse 20, Achan says, "Indeed, truly, I have sinned. I've missed a mark." And he says, "I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel." Now, Achan's sin had impact on a lot of other people. It had impact on those 36 families that lost their husbands and their fathers that went into the battle at Ai and lost their lives because of Achan's sin. It had impact on the whole nation of Israel, because the Bible says after the defeat at Ai, they were discouraged. Their hearts melted, became like water. And sin, most of the time, affects other people. Some people say, "Well, I can sin, and the only person that will hurt is myself." That's hardly ever the case. Maybe sometimes it's true, but hardly ever the case. When we sin, it always affects. Well, again, most of the time, it affects somebody else. But I want to tell you something. Sin is always against God. It's always against God. When David sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah, he destroyed their lives. And yet when he asked for forgiveness in Psalm 51, you remember what he says? He said to God, "Against thee only and thee only have I sinned." David said, I recognize, God, that my sin was against you. Was against you. And that's what Achan was saying. "Joshua, you're right. I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. I have missed the mark that he set out for me." And he says, "Joshua, this is what I've done. He says, and his confession was fourfold. And Achan's confession spells out the path that people usually take to sin and rebellion against God. He says, I saw that garment. I saw the silver. I saw the gold. Sin often begins with a look. Sin often begins with us seeing something. By the way, it's how the first sin started. Eve, Bible says, when she saw the fruit. Sometimes we can't prevent what comes before our eyes, but we sure can decide how long we look at it. Sometimes Satan will sneak something into our eye gate and cause something to pass before our eyes that's wicked and dirty. But we can decide to turn away. We can decide to shut our eyes. We can decide to quit looking. Achan didn't. He said, I saw. He said, then I coveted. I broke the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. He said, when I looked at it, I had a desire for it. I had a craving for it, an intense desire, an intense craving. And that word coveted carries the idea of finding pleasure in that something that you're coveting. And Achan coveted that gold and that silver and that garment. I mean, the garment was going to wear out. The gold and silver, I mean, it was probably 5 pounds of silver. It was probably 1 pound of gold. So, I mean, you know, you put it all together, in today's money, it was probably less than $1,500, if it was that much. And yet, he let that little bit of silver and gold and that garment, it cost him everything that he had. It cost him his life. I want to tell you something this morning. Sin always costs us more than we think it's going to cost us. We think we can sin and get by with it. I want to tell you something. We can't. It always affects us. It always affects somebody else. And it always affects us more than we think it will. And so Achan said, I saw it. I coveted it. By the way, same thing that Eve did. She said, the Bible says she saw the fruit and desired it to make her wise. And he said, I took it. Achan said, I took it. I violated the 8th commandment. I heard you, Joshua, when you said everything in Jericho belongs to God. Everything was supposed to be destroyed. The gold, silver, the brass, and the iron is to be put into the tabernacle. It belonged to God to bring honor and glory to Him. I heard you when you said that, and yet I took it. I stole it from God. Again, same thing that Eve did. She took the fruit. God had said, hey, this is my tree. Leave it alone. Don't eat it. The day you eat it, you're going to die. And she took it. And then Achan said, it's hidden in my tent. I buried it underneath my tent. The silver and gold are at the bottom and the garments on top of it. And again, this is so true of sin. Sin causes us to want things that in the end we have to hide. We have to hide. And he said, Joshua, they're they're under my tent. Now, let's go on. We've got to hurry. Look at verse 25 and 26, and then we'll read verse 1 of chapter 8. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. By the way, them, it's not just Achan, his wife, his children, all his animals, all his servants, everybody in his household. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And then chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. So, after Achan's confession, Joshua asked him a rhetorical question. Why hast thou troubled us? He didn't give them a chance to answer. He just asked a question. Why have you troubled us? And he did. He troubled Israel. Again, the army was defeated. 36 soldiers killed. The people were discouraged. They'd lost heart. Their hearts became like water. In fact, it's interesting how God uses a play on words to really make this point. The name Achor, the valley where they were burned and stoned, and the name Achan are rooted in the same Hebrew word that means trouble. So Achan had brought trouble to Israel. The Lord was about to trouble Achan by the judgment and the punishment of being burned and stoned. And that was going to happen in a place called the Valley of Achor, which is going to be known as the place of trouble from that day on. I mean, from that day on, that valley, the Valley of Achor, was going to be a reminder of Achan's sin and the consequence of that sin. And again, every word in this book was put there by God. It's just not a coincidence that all those names mean trouble. I mean, that was God's design as he was telling this story. So, they burned. They stoned Achan, his family, his servants, his animals. They burned them. And notice, it says that all Israel participated. All Israel. Everybody was involved. I think everybody picked up a stone. I think everybody was there when they burned him. And again, it was unusual to have both burning and stoning. But again, God wanted to completely to destroy this sin. I mean, if the Babylonian garment was there, it would just be covered up with stone. So God, I don't want it just covered up. I want it destroyed. I want it burned. I don't want the stones to just cover up Achan and their family and their animals. I want them burned. I want them destroyed. So they burned them, everything. And then they piled up a stone, a great heap of stone, the Bible says. Again, a reminder that everybody that went by and saw that pile of stones was reminded, hey, Achan sinned. He brought an accursed thing into the midst of the camp of Israel, and the whole nation of Israel paid for it. Achan paid a dear price, but the whole nation of Israel suffered for a while. And but here, when they did it, when they did what God said, when they burned Achan, when they burned his possessions, when they burned everything that he had, when the accursed thing was removed from the camp, the Bible says the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. That word fierceness means heat or burning. God, we might say God was hopping mad. I mean, his anger burned. But when the sin was removed, the fierceness of his anger, God turned from it. And notice chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua. That phrase is in the book of Joshua 12 times. 12 different times. And the Lord said to Joshua. It was always when Joshua needed it. It was always when Joshua needed instruction. It was always when Joshua needed encouragement. Achan's sin, the defeat at Ai, the loss of 36 soldiers, the loss of heart, the discouragement of the people, it was a setback. It was a setback. But it wasn't ultimate defeat. Man cannot defeat the plan of God. God may have to find a different people to carry out his plan, but God is not defeated by the actions of men. So here was Joshua. He did exactly what God said. He got the sin out of the camp, and God's plan was still in place. He said to Joshua, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." Again, I think that's what a lot of Christians, God-fearing, God-serving American Christians need to hear on this Sunday before the 4th of July. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. We may have suffered a setback, God told Joshua, but we have not been defeated. We have may have lost a battle, but we are going to win the war. I'm still God. I'm still omnipotent. I'm still in charge. You go ahead. You take the army. And you go with them this time, Joshua. If he didn't, I don't know if he went the first time when he went to Ai. But you take the whole army. And you go to Ai. And notice, God talks to Joshua about Ai just like he talked to him about Jericho. Like it had already happened. In the mind of God, it had already happened. Now, the Israelites still had to go fight the battle, but God was talking like it already happened. He said, I've already given you into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, his land. It's yours. Go take it. Go take it. Again, we may have suffered a setback. We may have lost a battle, but we can still, as God's people, if we will be obedient to what He says to do, we can still claim the blessings that He has, not only for us as individuals, but for us as a nation, for us as a land. The promises of God have not been negated by what the Supreme Court has done. The promises of God are still in this book, and they're just as valid this morning as they were Thursday night and Friday morning. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their sins and seek my face and pray, still in the book, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sin. Then I will heal their land. I'm not giving up yet. Am I discouraged? Yeah, I was. A little bit. Was I mad? You bet I was mad. Good thing I wasn't around somebody I didn't like. But I'm not discouraged this morning because I know I still have a God that sits on the throne of heaven. I still have a God that's omnipotent and all-powerful God that if He wants to flick His finger, Satan will move 1,000 million miles and take Him a long time to get back to earth. And I'm just making that up. That's not scriptural. I'm just saying if God wanted to, He could cast Satan away from this earth for a long time. God can take down the Supreme Court. God can take down the president. God can do anything He wants. But God's actions depend on ours. They depend on our obedience. They depend on our claiming the promises that are in this book. And if there's ever a time when we need to do it, it's now. It's now. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for lining this lesson up for us this morning months ago because You knew we'd need it. So thank You for being God. Thank You for being, as Brother Gene prays, thank You for being who You are. And I pray this morning that we would be reminded that our actions cannot negate Your plans. If we'll be an obedient people, You'll still be a God that blesses. And so I pray, Father, that we would be an obedient people. We'd claim the promises that are in this book. We'd live by them. And we'd ask again that once more Your hand of blessing would be on our nation. So thank You for Your word. Thank You for this lesson. I pray You'll go with us into the service that follows. Help us to uplift our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.